fast.
You know what? We'll use this because I think we can actually get this too.
Nick, what was the question you asked me on the porch that I asked you to wait on?
I only said something about today we would talk about, and only the term is Eridanus. Is that the term, the lake of fire?
No,
and
it's a river.
The river, yeah. And I asked Ole if he thought hell was literally a lake of fire per se, or more the absence of God. And obviously the person cast away would know that they're alone and there's no sense.
You don't have to explain it. Just
well, see, there's the Ole, the curmudgeon come out. Go ahead, Ole.
The name of hell in the Bible was Gehenna. on the first Pentecost after Christ, 50 days after Christ's crucifixion and resurrection, an incredible thing happened that you'd have to know about the feast in order to figure it out, but go to Revelation 20. Excuse me, 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, a new land. It doesn't say, it's the word that just means land. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, there's nowhere in the scriptures where the New Jerusalem ever came back up again. So right now, the New Jerusalem is our overriding reality. It sits over all of time. And all of time is passing through this temple in the New Jerusalem. It's passing, it's going backwards from all of other time. It's going from west to east. And the only thing that can stay in this New Jerusalem in the mystery of God is that which came from there. And Christ is the only one that came from there. And so it's Christ in us, the only hope of glory. So all of time since that day has been passing through the New Jerusalem. Goes from west to east, and everything that came from heaven stays in the temple. Everything that didn't goes out the east gate, and the east gate is when you go out the east gate, you go into the valley of Hinnom or Gehenna, and Gehenna was the dump for Jerusalem. And in order for it to keep from smelling up the city, they burned limestone, and so it had the appearance of a lake of fire. And so the New Jerusalem is our overriding reality. Anything that didn't come from God goes out into the dump. And the New Jerusalem, the dump lasts only as long as time lasts. And the word in the New Testament is forever. But that forever is the Greek words, which means as long as time lasts. The only thing that's eternal is the New Jerusalem. And so it isn't the evil people necessarily, it's anything that didn't come from God goes into the dump. But even after death, we have a chance. because it says in 1 Peter that he's down preaching to the dead, that they might be judged by men according to the flesh, but live according to God by the Spirit. So just to cement that, go to 1 Peter. Chapter 4.
Back there just a very little bit.
What?
Just a very little bit backwards.
Chapter 4, everybody find it? Verse 5. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? Quick is just a word that means living. For this cause was the gospel preached, or is the gospel preached, also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Does that explain it? Was that a yes? I guess maybe it was a maybe. Does that explain hell to you?
Well, I guess that you're saying that the description of hell as a lake of fire was, how would you say, more a metaphor than anything else, right?
Well, it's the same way a metaphor that the dump for Jerusalem was Gehenna, and it was a lake of fire.
So are you saying there is no hell?
No, I'm saying that hell isn't eternal.
It's not eternal. Okay, I see.
Hell is, lasts forever. Forever just means as long as time lasts. When the mystery of God is, go to Revelation 10. We're going to have to study Revelation.
I don't understand. How can they be preached to if they're dead? They sleep. What they?
Well, our understanding of what death is so
yeah.
Stupid that.
I'm understanding that. Listening to that language tape, so I'm
right.
Starting to understand a lot more.
All right. Let's start in verse 1. And I saw a mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. And a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth. And he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. When the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. That's what we studied last week. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which therein are, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Amen?
Yeah.
And so, hell only lasts as long as time lasts. And time soon will be no more. And the propensity, the nature of you that belongs in hell is when the seventh angel stands in you and says, in you the mystery of God is completed, then time will have no more meaning to you. It's only here for the sake of the long suffering of our Lord.
But only, well, what happens to the person who's just eternally lost?
It's as though he never existed. Once time is over, the only thing left is God and his bride. What?
No, just, you know, that's new to me. You know, that's new to me. Of course, we're all hearing hell, fire, you'll spend eternity in hell, and you know, that's what you hear all your life. And of course, now I know eternity is simply the absence of time. And now you've explained this in a way I've never had it explained, and I can understand that, but it's still new to me that it's like a person consigned to oblivion.
Well, it's the same thing, and I'm sorry to be crude, but I'm really probably not sorry. Every sperm cell that a man ejaculates, and every time he ejaculates, there's somewhere between 50 and 150 million sperm cells. Every time, I mean, that's a lot of sperm cells. And every one of those sperm cells has the potential for life. But the only ones that you're concerned with are the ones that were joined to an egg and became a child. And the same is true with God. He doesn't even see the human race.
See, that for me, I don't fully understand when you say he doesn't see the human race. And yet Scripture says he loves you like a son. And I think, well, I mean, I know he loves you like a son in Jesus, though, in
the
Jesus.
Love of God is always centered in Christ Jesus, period. The great lies that are common to all cultures, and the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God, are just lies.
No, I believe it. How about the scripture that your steps are ordered of the Lord?
What?
Your steps are ordered of the Lord. I mean, if he...
The only steps, the same thing is true with the sperm cell. Your sperm cell that became your daughter was ordered of the Lord. The Bible is only written to this people that are part of this mystery. It's not written to the human race.
Mm-hmm. No, that idea. Yeah.
It's not a science book or a history book or a moral book. It's a book about two separate and totally distinct environments. It's a book about eternity and a book about time and space and the contrasts. Always has been.
Well, that speaks to me. I mean, yeah, if you don't love Jesus, you don't have passion for the Lord. This book is, you don't want to read it.
Well, I mean, but people try to, the idiot Christians try to make it a science book, or a moral book, or a family values book, or a how to raise your children book. They must have never read the scriptures, because the Bible has the worst family values in the history of man.
Yeah, unless you hate your mother or your father.
Jesus was a great teacher. No, he wasn't. He was a terrible teacher from the God standpoint, I mean, from man's standpoint. No man cometh to me unless he hate his mother, his father, his brothers and sisters, his wife and his mother, or, I mean, his children and his wife, yea, and his own life also. That's pretty good. How did Jesus treat his own mother? Woman, what have I to do with thee? The first miracle. Then his mothers and brothers came to see him at a crusade. So he ignored them. He said, these are my brothers and my sisters. My mother.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't need any convincing of that. I know that in my spirit that to be true. That what we're living is what we've appropriated is comfortable. Makes me feel pretty good.
All right. Anybody else have any other questions? You usually have questions, Miss Mary, quite contrary.
Not tonight. yet. I should say, I don't yet.
All right.
I used to wonder about Nick's question, too, though, because you hear all your life about burning in hell, and you wonder, well, just being absent from God would be hell enough. You know? I mean, I relate to what you're saying.
Well, it is for us, yeah. But for the, if you don't, if you have no revelation of Christ, it's You know, this whole thing about people, there were always people coming up to me and saying, "Are you saved?" You know, I don't know if I've told you this before, but I was living in a 21st floor in a beautiful high rise overlooking the city. I ran around with the most beautiful girls in the world. Saved from what? Salvation has no meaning to accept their own definition of it. Salvation, I mean, the way the church is preaching salvation, it's how to have a better life.
That's right.
That's just crap.
Yeah.
Anyhow, let's look at the star map. We took a side trip last week, didn't we? When we were studying Orion. I think we took a side trip to Revelation, what we just studied.
I think we did.
All right, so let me see. I can't remember where I stopped because I usually write a little thingy, but I didn't have a pen. Did I give you the name of the stars?
I think we went over all the names of the stars and Orion.
Yeah, did I give you the names that of the different countries' names of Orion?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Did I give you what Aratus sings of him, and that great poet?
Probably yeah, not. I think you did.
Eastward beyond the regions of the bull stands great Orion, and who when night is clear behold him gleaming bright shall cast his eyes in vain to find a sign more glorious in all the heavens.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we talked about that one?
Mm-hmm.
Did I talk about the Orion myths?
Yeah.
You touched on them and then you said, well, I don't want to go into all of them. So, but you did touch on them.
He surpassed all men in strength, stature, and handsomeness. Described as the greatest hunter, could conquer every animal on earth. Because of his claim, a deadly scorpion sprang out of the earth and gave him a mortal wound in his foot and his heel. At Diana's request, he was raised to immortality in the heavens over against Scorpio. He is said to have loved the woman in the Pleiades, and for her he cleared the country of all noxious wild beasts. Let's go to Isaiah 42. I think that's where we stopped. We didn't go to these scriptures.
Orion's probably in the sky right now.
That's right. We'll go outside if it's not cloudy. He's right up here.
Take a field trip. Look at it.
We used to make field trips to watch dead cattle rot. We made a couple of field trips to look at dog vomit.
What are you talking about?
And when bananas in our because. Everybody think they were going to get righteous about something that they were. Then I'd go out and show them dog vomit. Or they had great plans for their life. We'd go look at a carcass of a dead cow rotting. What? Why are you shaking your head?
That's just disgusting.
What are you saying? That's your destiny? That's your hope? That's what you need? Or what's
what?
What's the message of showing up a dead carcass?
Yeah, what is?
If you think you had some righteousness, go look at the dead carcass. That's you.
I mean, I may as well go ahead and, when I got married, I may as well say, I love you, but here, look at this divorce decree.
Well, for you, you probably should have.
Probably should, yeah. Reminds me of the Christmas Carol, you know, ghost Christmas, showing this is your future. This is your future.
Tombstone.
Well, Orion, remember the reason we started on Taurus and Orion, because this now starts the judgment. And so we're gonna look at Isaiah 42, starting verse...
what verse?
13.
13.
The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time holden my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now I will cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. Again, this is, it said, this is, speaks of Orion. And then go to Isaiah 60. We talked about how Orion was called. Maybe we didn't. Let me see if I did or not. Well, somewhere I can't. I don't have it. I can't find mine. But he's called the light of God in some places in the scriptures. I mean, in the myths. Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see, all they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy son shall come from afar, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Obviously, that's talking about Christ. Now, Psalm... No, let's not go there. That's enough for Orion. I want to get to the next guy. Any questions about Orion?
Is he going after Taurus?
No, no. Taurus is his buddy.
Looks like he's attacking him.
No.
No.
No, he's going after Cetus. But he, you see that? You remember what he has in his
the
left
skin,
arm?
Skin
of the lion.
Skin of a lion. Now look at the star Regal. The brightest star in his left foot. That's the source of this next decan. It's Eridanus. You see the, it looks like a snake, but it's actually a river. Now, it's huge in the sky, but we don't see it in this because it's not to scale. Like Cetus isn't to scale. Cetus is huge. But notice, it winds around, and then it looks like Cetus is trying to dam it. You see that?
Uh-huh.
But then it goes down into the regions and the nether regions. All right, now, the full name is Eridanus. And it means the river of the judge. And it's beneath the down plunging foot of Orion and under the feet of the great Rheem, or the Taurus. It flows this incredibly tortuous river. It flows east and west and down towards the darkness of the underworld. It's a river of fire. And so what we're going to do right now, again, remember all of the signs from Taurus all the way to Leo, the lion, are judgment signs. The first book of four was about Christ. There are three books. There are three main books of the stars. And each of the three books has four chapters. And then each chapter has three sub-chapters. So the first chapter of the book was about Christ as the suffering servant. The second chapter of the book, and a little bit at the end of the first one, is about the redeemed church. Now the last book is about judgment. Now it's hard for us to understand this because we think linearly, but all of them are going on at once until the end, and then everything closes. Okay? So this is a river of fire. And in all ancient myths, it's always called the River of Fire. But we're going to read a bunch of scriptures. Let's start in Daniel 7. And I'm afraid, I got a feeling we're going to go on a side trip here. But. Everybody find Daniel? It's right after Ezekiel. He's the biggest of the minor prophets. Like most pages. Well, I need to do it. We're going to start in verse 1. Now, this is 545 years before Christ when this was written. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. And I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear. And it raised itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said unto it, Arise and devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. And after this, in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and exceeding strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Does that sound familiar, that whole, what we just read? Familiar to what?
Well, to the... like the Greek Empire, the Babylonian Empire that preceded that, and the last one being the Roman Empire.
Well, I want you to remember these beasts.
Okay.
There was a lion, a bear, a leopard, and then a strange beast.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, now let's go to Revelation 13.
Hey, holy please, give me, tell you, I just
that's
got
right,
a tinkle. But don't talk no more. I got a tinkle.
Oh, I guess I've been ordered not to talk anymore.
Can you dance?
That's it. Your lips are sealed now.
ghost to tell me what to do. How's that working out for him?
Oh, lordy, 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 lordy.
Is it a lion?
So does that track Revelation? Is that what you're getting
to? Do what?
Those beasts, does that track?
Well, there's another description of it with the bear, a lion, and a leopard. Anybody know where that is? All you Bible scholars?
Revelation 12:13.
That's right.
Luck. Pure luck.
I knew we were going to have to make this side trip, but I tried to avoid it. We're done with Revelation. Now let's go back to Daniel.
Oh, you need to stop.
All right, Revelation 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea.
I get old.
You need a Bible with tabs.
All right, okay.
Your kindergarten Bible. I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and was upon his head was the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. We just saw the leopard, right? And his feet were as the feet of a bear. We just saw a bear. And his mouth was the mouth of a lion. We just saw a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly head wound was healed. His deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And that's this beast in verse 7 of Daniel. And I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth, and devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had ten horns. It's the same beast, and the same beast is the human race. And we'll go into that in great detail someday. John saw his reflection. The Spirit of the Lord gave them revelation to see that my God, that's my mind. That's all men.
Can a leopard change his spots? Yeah.
But the great beast, terrible one, was the one that devoured and with the feet. It was diverse from all the beasts before it, and it's the one with ten horns. Well, that's the Antichrist. That's the one that's a human race that's destroying everything, devouring everything. But let's stay in this for a minute. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? And in verse 3, it says, all the world wandered after the beast. It's the only thing that every person on the face of the world, on the face of the earth, has ever wondered after, was themselves. They all are wondering after the beast. I pray you're not anymore. But as they were wandering after the beast, they're really worshiping the dragon. You understand that? To wander means to give importance to or breath to, and that means to worship. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And you see this mysterious 42 months throughout the scriptures. If you do the math, 40 and 2 months is 3.5 years. It's the period of time between the baptism of Christ on Yom Kippur, which prefigured his death, and 3.5 years later, his actual death and crucifixion. That's 42 months. Now, what does it mean in us? 42 months, spiritually, it can be a thousand, hundreds of years, or 50 years, whatever. It's the time from which you accept Jesus, you believe in Jesus, until the end of 42 months, you live by the faith of him. And that period of time is when you do the most damage, because you retain, we'll see that in a minute. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Again, all that dwell upon the earth worship the beast. You got to see that. Whose names are not written in the book of life. And again, it says elsewhere that everyone that dwells on the earth is deceived. The mystery of God is the earth is no longer our dwelling. Our city of birth is this new Jerusalem. And it's a specific word. It's polis in the Greek. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life, of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And that's explained in a few verses in chapter 14. Now, this is where it gets fun to me. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, but he still spake as a dragon.
Yeah, religious beast.
You become a religious beast. You have two horns like a lamb, but it's still self-seeking, so you're still worshiping the dragon. Amen? And then, that's a good place to stop. But let's go over to Revelation 14. This is where this patience of the saints thing is described. Verse 12. Well, let's... Do you understand?
Go ahead, only keep going.
Huh?
You just said verse 12 and it was juicy and then you said you stop.
Well, wait a minute. The scriptures continually tell us to come out of her, my people. Come out of her. Touch not the unclean thing. What is that? The unclean thing, it's talking about coming out of Babylon. Babylon is the world of cause and effect. Because the greatest enemy of faith and mercy and grace, if you think about it, is cause and effect. If I know how to do something and what the results will be, then I don't need mercy and grace and faith. And yet, it's so subtle because everything you've ever learned from your childhood on is cause and effect. You've grown up with a Babylonian garment on you. You have to cast off the Babylonian garment and you must refuse to live by cause and effect any longer. If I do this, this will happen. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so just before this next thing happens, watch. let's start in verse 6 instead of verse 12. I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Now again, the gospel being preached isn't dependent on some idiot like you or I or Benny Hinn. The angel from heaven has been preaching the gospel. The gospel has been preached to every creature under heaven over and over and over again. And then saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon has fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now all the wrath of her fornication, you're fornicating with her if you live by cause and effect. Do you understand that? And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive the mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. Again, forever and ever just means as long as time lasts.
But how about the mark?
Well, that's the mark. I'm glad you asked about the mark. The mark of the beast, the mark, if you look throughout the scriptures, the mark of your forehead, it defines, it's a metaphor for how you think. And so if you think in terms, and all men have the mark of the beast in their forehead, to start with, because that defines its cause and effect, the mark of the beast. And how you think defines what you will do. And what you do in your right hand always is a metaphor for what you do. So if the mark of the beast is in your forehead, it will automatically be also in your right hand. Do you understand that? And the mark of the beast is 666. It's in every man's forehead because he can never get to 7. 7 is rest. No matter what you do, you can't find peace. You can't find rest. Okay? And so your mind thinks up other stuff to do, and it's all cause and effect. So the mark is in your hand. Amen?
Yep.
Unless you believe it's your credit card or whatever that crap is.
That's what I used to believe.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I used to believe, or the I think somebody told you, they were going to put a mark on your skin.
Mm-hmm.
Or something.
That's, yeah, me too.
Buy or sell without it.
Me
you
too.
Know?
My little
well, you couldn't buy or sell. That's why cause and effect. That's what the buy or sell means.
Oh, well,
that's why
I didn't know that.
Picked up the credit card thing. Is the that's the only way you could buy or sell in the future.
Did you believe that too?
I used to think that a mark, some kind of mark. Uh-huh. You know, I thought, but you're right. I mean, cause and effect, you know, you're going to put the thing there, you go to the store, and then, okay, the deposit was made, Novello's got $1,000 in his account. You know, sure. Mm-hmm. I always thought it was hokum, but I thought, well, that's what I've been taught. We're working that way with the computers and cybernetics mm-hmm. and everything, but no, this speaks to my spirit. I'm not thinking, yeah, this makes sense to me. This speaks to my spirit.
All right, well, let's watch.
Okay.
And verse 11, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Your entire life, your works have led you. Amen?
Amen. But this is us now. Praise
right.
the Lord. We're dead
this
in
is
him
us.
Now.
Absolutely.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah. This is us.
This is us.
It's great, isn't it?
Amen.
Blessed are they. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them.
Amen. Though you do have more of a crucible than most of us.
says, you have more of a crucible than most of us, Pete.
Oh.
Well, what do you say about our works following us? What do you say about our works following us instead of being led by them?
Well, it's the same. We can do, but just look at us here. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Like, forget us, let's look at me. Absolutely nothing that I'm doing did I ever plan to do. In fact, I resisted it with all, everything in me. I'm not going to teach. It's just, there might be a bunch of people. I don't want a bunch of people around.
Too bad.
Still don't. Huh?
But the bottom line is, even as a body, we've tried, you know, we've thought up some crap to do, and it all just failed. New stuff that we didn't think up to do failed, but that's the story.
Harry got here begging you to go after Tilton, right?
No, well, I didn't pay attention to him. All right. So now, back to Daniel. Start in verse 9.
You mean the 7th chapter, Daniel?
Daniel what?
Daniel 7. Where we just were. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow.
Wait a minute, what, 7 what only?
Chapter 7, verse 9.
Okay, I'm there now.
May I start now?
I'm on the old.
And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as a burning fire. And a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. A fiery stream, a fiery river. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. And I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till a beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. And again, let me just finish that. And it's concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. And I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man come with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him. And there was given him a dominion. They're given him dominion and glory and a kingdom. And all people, nations, and language should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Now, I don't know if you've heard me talk about this, but everything on the face of the earth, and above the earth and under the earth, is serving him. Every knee is already bowing. Every tongue is already confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's all in him. Wherever we look, we see the perfection of his holiness. Wherever we look, we see his finished work. We've been perfected by one offering. We own all things. All things exist for our purpose. You just rest in it. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's go to a couple of Psalms. Psalm 50. Remember, we're talking about the fiery fire, fire, the river of fire, lake of fire, river of fire. The mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken and called the earth. From the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that they may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Selah. Anybody know what Selah means?
Ponder.
I understand it's one of those words that people don't really have a good definition of.
Well, yeah, everybody says it means consider or ponder. That's not what it means. All these were sung. So Selah was a pause to the musicians during the singing. Can you imagine how many they had a choir for these major feasts of 13,000 voices in the temple? Can you imagine?
Awesome.
No man knows what, you know. The Hebrew that's spoken today is nothing like it was in ancient times. And we have no idea what their music was. But the music was put people in such rapture that on the Feast of Tabernacles, there's even a rabbi that danced on his thumbs. We've fallen so far, it's not even. And then that ridiculousness of these people that think we've spiritually advanced.
Yeah.
Anyhow, okay, let's go to Psalm 97. This will be the last one. The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlightened the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax in the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. Fire goeth before him, and that's what we'll see it when we study the rest of these. But the fire that's going before him is, according to the star map, is the river Eridanus. All right, that's a good place to stop. Does anybody have a pen or a pencil or something with you? I just need to mark this so I know where to stop.
There you go. This year, I mean, it's early, so I'm saying it early. This year, I'm going to have a big party, you know, and it will be, obviously, the only people I want there, you know, this family.
He won't invite me once because he thinks I'll spoil his party.
Well, you during the festivities, only, you might not want to be there. I'm going to throw a nice party.
You're afraid you're going to condemn me
for No, Jim, I've just... I've never ever in my whole lifetime had a birthday party, you know.
When's your birthday?
November. And so I'm throwing a big birthday party, but it'd only be my family and then the believers, you know. We don't need any Polish buddies there. I'll invite some Christian Polish buddies. So it'll be real good food and some red wine.
So we're going to wait until November to have the party?
Yeah, I'll be 58 if the Lord lets me, you know, walk the earth before then, you know. But, yeah. No, only this was good stuff tonight, though, you know, praise God.
So are you going to wait here till November.
That means it must not be good the other night.
you know, I've got a bottle of Madeira at home, though, Jim. It dates 1850.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm going to open it, though. That I open in 2 weeks because the German retired. So I'm gonna go ahead and honor him, yeah. And open it.
That'd be great.
Oh, Pete, you want to give me something, or you going to email me?
I'll just email you.
Yeah. And then Malcolm emailed me tonight, and, you know, it's good stuff.
All right. Great.
We don't have to proclaim Christ anymore.
But where does it say that? The Great Commission isn't the Great Commission is in the tense that says, as you go into your world, if you believe, you'll speak. But if you go out and try to do it, it's just an idiot. If you believe, you'll speak. That's what that fivefold ministry is. An apostle has to fall into the ground and die. Let's go to it real quick. Ephesians 5.
Ephesians 5?
Or 4. This will just take a second. Verse 10.
4.
He that is descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. But that's not five different offices. That's what happens. If somebody hears, and really hears, they fall into the ground and die. That's what an apostle does. There's no more of life. And then as he, because he believes, he speaks. And some of that is prophetic, prophecy. And because he speaks, some will hear. So he's an evangelist. And then when those damn people start hanging around, then he also has to be a pastor and a teacher. But this is repeated over and over. And again, we don't see this anymore because we got paid clergy and everything. Mm-hmm. But that's the way all house churches in the first century were created. And then some, you know, there was all, it says that Paul was an evangelist, but he never went where he on the Feast of Pentecost, 5,000 people became believers. They had to stay there in Jerusalem until Yom Kippur. In order to, that's when, because it was a Jubilee year, and that's the way it got all their land back. And so, these were the people from all over the world, because they came back to get their land back, according to the Jubilee law. Well, then they went back, and they're all excited and all happy. They're going to return to their synagogues and wherever their countries are. And so they said, oh, shit. Help! And so they invited, that's why the apostles and others, they had to go to all these places around the world, because the Jews, you know, they these guys that were converted were trying to explain this to the rabbis at their own synagogues.
Yeah. Not doing too well.
So they never went where they weren't invited. This idea of just, I mean, it's tough. And when they went, the evangelists stayed, Paul, when they went, they stayed for 2 and 3 years. So their words were tested by their life. Not this crazy crap that's going on. We have 10 evangelists, or even the Assemblies of God has certified evangelists that can run around and speak at all the churches. And denomination, and so does the Baptists. Well, that's just not the way it worked.
Amen to that, man.
Anyhow,
the Lord's turned it all upside down, but look what he gave Holy to share with us.